Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this radio program, this satsang, is being recorded for August 26th, 2017, and I am very grateful that you chose to be with me. I'm very, very grateful. The purpose of the program, well, maybe to help you along your spiritual path, maybe to introduce you to an authentic spiritual path, and maybe, just maybe, you might get something here that might help you awaken to that which has always been within us all, that which we call consciousness, love, compassion. Well, that sounds so hippie, doesn't it? But it's really not. And hopefully the questions that I answer this morning and offer to you will help you. That's all I can really say. I just sit here every week trying to help you. This radio program that you're listening to, as well as the TV programs and all of my offerings on the Aspire website, and I hope you'll go there. Our website is aspire.org, aspire.org. And if you go there, you will see all sorts of offerings, from radio programs to TV programs. And there's my podcasts and videocasts and commentaries and all of that, which are available should you sign up for them. But everything is there to be of service to you, of service to humankind. And I truly hope that you find insight through what I offer. We need sponsors. They're the ones that help pay for this. All of the things you're listening to and hearing and watching are there because of the kindness of our sponsors, who make all of this possible with their monthly and or their quarterly donations. And I hope you will become a sponsor. I know you're thinking, pay for this? Are you kidding me? Well, there are those who find great help in all of this, and their donations, well, they make an impression upon humankind. They are a way of offering peace and harmony and compassion to a world that is absolutely frantic in fear and hate. So I'm hoping you will consider being a sponsor. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see support in the middle of the page. You would naturally think that, you know, of course he's going to put that up there. Of course he is. And if you hit the little button that says support, a drop-down menu will come, and it will say, why support Aspire? And it's a very important thing for you to consider. You will see how we use your donations to serve humankind and what it's really all about. So please go to the website at aspire.org and take a look at support, and please become a sponsor. Arguments. People love to have arguments. Argue, fight. And we see nothing wrong with it. We think this is sport. We think we're exercising and flexing our intellect here and all of that other good stuff, but really we're not. We're doing some very big damage to ourselves and others. So here we are. I found three emails that I have received over the past 6 months about arguments. I've been kind of laying back and seeing, you know, how many people want to talk about the subject. And I finally got one the other day that made a complete three. So here we go. Let's take a look at this, and possibly this will serve you well. I agree all of the time with my family and my friends at work. I must be, can't be that wrong, right? It's okay to agree with those who have the same point of view as yourself. But I am beginning to see that I argue with those who do not agree with me, and I am beginning to wonder if there is anything wrong with this. Could you please elaborate a little bit, James? And he does not tell me where he lives. James, we love those who love us. Jesus made that statement. What reward have you if you only love them that love you? You haven't achieved anything. So you like being and working and living where people agree with you, but then when somebody comes along, maybe like myself, who doesn't agree with maybe some of your philosophies, platitudes, and longitudes, you get upset with us or those who are different than you, and you want to know if that's wrong? Tolerance is really important. You know, every time you see a pregnant woman or a couple with two or three kids in the offing in their family, which they see nothing wrong with, you have to, at least I do, that brings up an argument, okay? All of that brings up an argument within us all because it's getting crazy out there. We're way overpopulated, as you know. And we could have this argument for a long, long time if we wanted, you know, what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad about it, the whole thing. But it always points me to one thing. There is no use in arguing. There's no use because instinct, human instinct, is much, much stronger than common sense, especially when you're younger and the chemistry is rolling around and it's saying to you, I want a baby. I got to have a baby. And the babe wants the baby. You know, that kind of stuff that goes on in our minds. So I every time I see that, I realize I need tolerance and patience. Tolerance and patience. And James, I just don't feel that arguing with people or showing them the light of their own darkness really does much good. When I was younger, I was a real firecracker. I'll tell you, I would have, in those days, probably looked at that and looked down my nose at these kinds of people who did this kind of stuff, you know, indulge themselves at the cost of humankind. But I don't do that anymore. I don't I would never have walked up to them and been rude, but I don't do that anymore. I realize more and more the statement that Jesus made years and years and years ago, forgive them, they know not what they do. And who am I to say what a couple or people should do? Why get in that argument? It isn't going to change anything. It doesn't alter anything. And people are going to do what they're going to do, James, no matter what you and I may think. Now, you like the people at work. You like the people at home. You don't argue with them. They're your loved ones. Well, you know, okay. That doesn't mean anything. I'm glad you're getting suspicious, though. See, the fact that you're getting suspicious about how you are with people and how you are with the objects and things of your life, meaning that you're starting to maybe become a little suspicious that your disapproval of whatever people are doing might be a cause for something else in your life. The fetters that hold you back in this world and keep you in this world, the pride, the vanity, the thinking I'm better than, the self-righteousness, all of that other stuff, unforgiveness, gossip, all the stuff we love to do. If you're starting to question all that, good for you. This is a very smart thing for you to do. Very wise thing for you to do. But if it's just giving you food for fight, as I call it, where you just want to get into it with others for the sake of enjoying the fray of the fight and the anger, the hostility and all of that, and thinking that winning maybe the fight would be a good thing, then nothing really has been accomplished. And you're missing the meaning of everything in your life, and that wouldn't be helpful to your living. You have to forgive them, for they really don't know what they're doing. It takes a great deal of courage, I think, to hold your tongue, especially when you see someone maybe making a mistake you have made before in your own life and want to correct them. I have I have students that do that all the time to me. They're about to make that mistake that I made years ago or whatever. And I look at them and I go, should I tell them? Should I tell them? And I just listen to that still small voice. And depending on what I hear from there is how I will address the situation. Sometimes you have to hit them over the head with a 2x4. Yeah, sledgehammer is probably better. And you still don't get through. But sometimes you do. You know, Jesus hit us over the head with 2x4s with a lot of his teachings. Buddha talked about it in such a beautiful way, about the three kinds of racehorses, the worst being the one that needed the whip to the marrow of the bone, the second to the skin, and the third only the shadow of the whip. And most of us are to the marrow of the bone, let's face it. That's where we are. That's where we exist. You're going to have to live within yourself and listen to that still small voice. And if you do and you follow it, well, then you've done the thing that maybe is most kind and loving. But if you listen to your conscience and you listen to your self-righteousness and your fear and your anger and all the other, you know, garbage that people like to get involved in, then something else has taken over and something else is happening. And there are consequences for my unkindness. There always is in my own life. So you want to kind of be with it. People always want answers that are clear cut. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. Thou shalt do this, thou shalt do that. I have found that life doesn't work like that. You have to listen to that which the ear cannot hear and then follow what you hear. And that's a hard thing to do when you haven't learned meditation, inner work, understanding the nature of your intuition and your authentic heart. But be it as it may, and may it be as is, that's the way we live, and hence ending the argument is most important. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a great question. Next one comes from Gail in Colorado. She says, when should a person stand up for themselves? When is that moment when you should fight, Gail? I think, you know, this is a frustrating question for me because a fight is merely a fight. I have students who are married and they fight. And the man will always come to me without a shadow of a doubt and say to me, you know, Mary is fighting with me and I just, you know, try to reason with her, but there's no, that kind of thing, no reasoning. And then she will tell me, oh, he's such a impossible person and does all sorts of things. He knows better and I don't know why he does. And so I always, when I'm in a counseling session with all of this, I look at both of them and I just say, let's just cut to the bottom line, cut the crap and get to the bottom line. How do you both want this to work out? How do you both want it to work out? How is this supposed to work out? You're arguing and fighting. You would be surprised how quickly the argument ends when they ask each other that question. Okay, how do you want this to end? Well, both people have to look at themselves and consider, well, how do I want it to end? What is the ending here? And if you just look at it from that point of view, you'll see, oh, I just want it my way, or I think I know better. Now, maybe you do, and maybe you don't. I don't know. But Gail, if you look at great teachers, great masters, how many of them stood up and fought? Gandhi taught us how to be passive. Dr. Martin Luther King did the same thing, how to be passive. Yes, it got them killed. Jesus the same way. He was very passive. He didn't get involved in all this craziness. And look what happened. I mean, I honestly think that most people, this resurrection thing that people get involved in and think happened or want to think is kind of a vengeance, you know, towards maybe towards Rome and bad people. Would you admire Jesus less as a teacher, as a master, as it were, if he had not resurrected? Is that the neener that people need to believe in that makes their lives, you know, better than, more than? Is that what we need, that neener thing? I don't know. I see it that way when I hear people talk. Vengeance and pride, we really live for those fetters, those soft fetters that look so self-righteous and put us in a place where we are higher than others. I've never seen a person who was awakened ever fight to the death or ever want to fight to the death or whatever. Just haven't seen it. Maybe it's true. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about here, but I just haven't seen it in the course of history. So I'm saying to you in a funny kind of way, when is the moment? Really, the moment is to forgive. Not to avenge, but to forgive. And what if the greatest avenging happened in forgiving? Maybe if you saw people for the way they are, the way they live, and see it within yourself as the same thing, I would do that. I can see myself there. I could see, you know, me doing that, saying that, going in that direction. I can see that. Maybe if you have that attitude and it's compassionate, which it has to be in order to be fulfilling, you start to see the bigger picture. Gail, use everything in your means to awaken spiritually. Don't be worried about the outer world. Don't be worried about what people will think of you. Nobody likes you anyway. Go listen to my series on that on the Aspire website. It's very powerful. It's a TV series. You'll get it. It is not important what people think of you. It is important what you know within you. Not about you, but within you. The whole exercise of having disagreements with people is really an exercise in Ken Gregg, the Gregory here, sitting here talking to you with headphones and microphone. Forgive. Can he forgive? Is he willing to forgive? Can he let go of the hate, the fear, the anger? Can he ascend to a higher level of being, of consciousness? Or is he just going to fight an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and get nowhere? How many wars have we had? How many in this world? And did they change anything? Really? The same sickness that made the wars are the people who think they've won them and think now they're dominant, they were right. Look at our country. We've turned into the very thing we fought against in World War I and II. We're just, that's where we are. We're oppressive, and we do terrible things to other countries, and people don't understand. I love this naive attitude. Why does everybody hate democracy? Well, it isn't that. It's all the ugly things we've done to other countries. It has nothing to do with democracy. It has to do with dictatorship. So you start to look at your life, you start to look at your living, and you start thinking to yourself, maybe, what am I fighting about? How do I want this to end? How do I want this to end? So, Gail, ask yourself that question the next time you're in a good fight. Stop it. Ask yourself, how do I want this to end? And put an end to it. Don't allow it to keep going on and on and on. The futility of it and the hatred that is involved in it, even if you think you win the fight, is a consequence you don't want in your life, believe me, because it just ties you to the consequences of your hatred and fear more than ever before. Those who win really lose. They really do. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's really interesting how we need to win. The last question is a Lulu. I mean a Lulu. And it comes from Linda in San Diego. Greg, I just want you to know, when is right really right? And who is right? Somebody's got to be right. Linda. No, they don't. No, they don't, Linda. I'm not right. You're not right. Nobody has to be right. We have to be available. Available to love. Available to the goodness of our hearts. I don't have to be right. I would much rather be wrong and find that which is love than to be right and find that which is vengeance and pride. This whole life is a humiliating experience, if you haven't noticed, Linda. You get a body. Sometimes it's genetically predisposed to illnesses, and other times it's predisposed to psychologies and thoughts. And all of these things just run us down, down, down into the depths of despair. The amount of depression in this world and the amount of unhappiness in this world is immense. And we keep bringing children in from people who I consider to be mentally ill. And they get those genetic vibes and that DNA, and you combine it together, and it's like a nuclear war, a nuclear bomb. Right? What's right? To the insane person, right looks like might. To the more maybe meek person, the person of the heart, there is no sense of right. There is no rightness. There is what is. What is. And you're looking for right. People who look for right think they have the might to rule other people, to be better than. How do you want it to end, Linda? How do you want your life to end? You want this life to end with all the skirmishes and battles and ugly things that you've done that have made you the Linda? The Linda you know now, the Linda of your friends, the Linda of your family. Do you want to be the Linda? Or do you want to be a peacemaker? Blessed are the peacemakers. Are you a peacemaker, or are you someone who just needs to be right all the time? Better than, you know what's best. Hardly. In any given situation, there is always the chance for misunderstanding. There's always that which allows us to do something foolish and stupid without ever really knowing what the hell we're doing. Linda, wake up. Bring peace into this world, not what's right. Bring peace. Ask yourself, at the end of my life, how do I want this all to work out? How do I want this to be? Just sit with that. And if you have apologies to make, make your apologies. If you have forgiveness to make, make your forgiveness. Don't hesitate to be forgiving. Don't hesitate to be kind. Don't hesitate to be unconscionably generous with your life. Believe me, the caution there isn't going to help you. It's only going to have, well, you know, it's going to be more and more difficult. Let love live you. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. You have a wonderful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. I hope you will join me. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.